Does anybody remember Gene Simmons from Kiss? Yes, I'm getting some nods. And this guy's abnormally long tongue. Now, I actually hesitated to show this picture because I was afraid we would all need a freedom session after we saw it. But I thought, I got to show you the guy. A lot of people believe the reason that Simmons' tongue was so long was because they had taken a cow's tongue and had sewn it onto his tongue. That's the fun reason. The real reason is kind of icky. Oral surgeons say that Simmons had his sublingual frenulum cut, and that's why it's so long. When this particular portion is cut, the tongue only appears to look longer, but it really isn't. Now, I had the unfortunate privilege of looking at several unattractive pictures of this famous tongue, and it does seem suspiciously long and especially creepy. I feel perfectly justified saying creepy because Gene Simmons, by his own admission, has tried to be as creepy as possible. The book of James gives us a creepy image of our own tongues. Reading from James 1:26 and then James 3:2 through 11. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So let me see if I've got this right. I just want to make sure I have it right this morning. If I think I'm religious, and believe me, I do, I'm kidding myself if I don't keep my big mouth in check. It's kind of sobering to think that one of the truest indications of my spirituality comes down to my big yap. It's kind of discouraging. The tongue is kind of boring and it's super unattractive, but it is really an amazing organ. Our tongues are composed of skeletal muscle and fat, and they are as individual as your fingerprints. Pro tip, don't stick your tongue out if you're going to rob a bank. Our tongues are able to move in almost every direction. It expands, compresses, and allows for complex patterns of speech. It is the primary way in which we taste things. It is the beginning stages of our digestive system. There is this famous myth that the tongue is the strongest muscle of the body. I actually think the body's strongest muscle is at the other end, or is that the biggest muscle? While we can debate on what muscle is the strongest or the biggest, we cannot debate on which muscle gets us into most trouble. Hint, it isn't the one we sit on. We are the only creatures God created that can speak. Animals do not speak for two primary reasons. Number one, they do not have the right vocal cords. Number two, the thoughts they think are not capable of producing speech. For better or for worse, we have the right vocal cords and the right thought patterns to produce speech. James hones in on the negative side of our ability to speak. The tongue is a bigger beast than any other animal on the earth. Most kinds of animals have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. Every dangerous animal can be tamed. Lions can be tamed and trained to jump through burning hoops. Bears can be trained to star in movies. Elephants can be tamed and trained to stand on boxes. So why then can't I train and tame my tongue? James says, it is full of deadly poison and it is unruly. We are a nation of talkers. On average, we engage in about 35 conversations every day. We spend 25% of our lives talking, and some of us, I think, more. That gives us plenty of time to mess up. My chances of blowing it are directly linked to the amount of words that I speak. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. It is nearly impossible to tame our tongues if we just let them flap about aimlessly and say everything that comes to the top of our heads. But lest we get all bummed out, the tongue can be brought under control of the Holy Spirit, because God is mightier than the tongue. Like a spark that ignites a forest, our words are sparks that burn many. We choose our clothes more carefully than we choose our words. We think about what's for dinner more than we do the remarks that we make. Because our words can be so dangerous, we should use them as carefully as we might a loaded gun. Pro tip, when you're in an argument with someone, say less. For years, people have believed that women talk more than men. This is true and not true, because women are actually more talkative than men only during a certain time period in their lives, and that's between the ages of 25 and 65. We speak, if we're in that age bracket, about 3,000 more words per day than men, and that's about an extra half hour of talking every day. However, this statistic is flipped in our home, where Jim does most of the talking. Jim gets out of bed talking. By the time I get home from church in the afternoon, I have used up all my words for the day, about 16,000. And Jim is just getting started. People like me, who can be a little less talkative, are not off the hook. People like me get away with speaking less because of the rise of digital communication. I text an online message all day long. I may not be speaking words out loud, but I am writing them, and there is no difference between saying hurtful words and typing them. When we use words irresponsibly, its effect can be as painful as hitting someone. The Old Testament refers to words as arrows. And why does the Bible call our words arrows? Because if a person takes out a sword out of its sheath and he's going to stab someone, that person can beg for mercy and the sword can go back in its sheath. But an arrow, once it is shot, can never be returned. In one moment, James says, we bless and praise God, and in the next, we curse those that are made in his image. I knew of a young women's prayer group once that wasn't really a prayer group. It was a group who cursed other women in the church who weren't invited to the prayer group. When one young mother voiced her objections to being part of this group, she was accused of being trying to be holier than thou, and she most likely became the next smear target. Words can inject a poisonous evil into the life of another. One ancient writer said, just consider how the tongue lies in your head like a snake, ready, and it's so powerful that God gave it two cages, the jaws and teeth, and the flesh of a face, and still it's as restless as it is. It gets out and it ejects with poison. You and I have the power to touch and change a life just by using our words. Every day we can deplete someone, or every day we can enrich someone. We can, with a word, make them feel better than they did before we spoke to them. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. There are types of speech that obviously should be avoided, and gossip is certainly one of them. However, this is one area that I believe is misunderstood. If we believed all of the strict rules about gossip that are perpetrated among some really straight groups, we wouldn't be able to say anything about anybody at all at any time. Not every time we talk about someone in their absence constitutes as gossip. Sometimes vital information has to be passed on about someone. The child molester who lives in your neighborhood is an example of info that needs to be passed to families with small children. Rule number one about whether something is gossip or not is the information must be something others need to know. Sometimes we need advice about how to handle a difficult situation with someone else. There are times when things happen in our relationships that are just so painful that we need an objective opinion. We just need to vent or pour out our hearts. This doesn't mean that we run around and tell the whole world what so-and-so did or what they said. We also need to be careful who we choose. We don't want to choose someone who's going to blab it around town, or worse yet, really fan those flames of anger in your soul. We need to choose to confide in safe people. Rule number two about whether something is gossip or not is we must be seeking genuine comfort and advice for a painful personal experience from trustworthy people. Sometimes the people in our lives either need spiritual or psychological help, and they're refusing to get it for themselves. There are times when we have a heavy concern for someone. We need to go to an outside person to find help for them. Rule number three about whether or not something is gossip is we must be trying to get legitimate help for somebody. There are, of course, more exceptions to the gossip rules, but if we're honest, there are times when we are just flat out gossiping. And gossip is hard to resist, either saying it or hearing it. If I said to you this morning, "Oh, Janet is such a terrific person, there's just one thing that really bothers me about her, though." "Oh, never mind. Just forget I said it." You know you can hardly let that drop. You really want to know what bothers me about Janet. I think there's a very important element of what we say, and we don't give much thought to it. And it's the ethics and morality of speech. We must learn to be moral, ethical speakers. As we have read, this is the mark of someone who is really religious, or whose religion is genuine. Being an ethical speaker means we respect human dignity. Most of us don't even consider the idea of human dignity when we speak. We have an ethical duty to be fair and respectful and careful when we talk to or about others. When we think of ethics, we think of finances or the law, politics or cheating, but ethics go way, way farther than that. Ethics goes to our speech. If what we say to or about someone affects attitudes and shapes their reputations in a negative way or permanently scars them, that's unethical. Some people think that if something is true, they should just blurt it right out. No, they shouldn't, especially if it's hurtful. You do not have to say yes if she asks if she looks fat in that dress. And she does. You don't have to say that. She knows she does. In my opinion, that's a dishonest question. I'm going to help you men out today. Say this when she asks if she looks fat in her outfit. "Why, dear, I think you look great in everything." You're welcome. Knowing certain things about others gives us a kind of power over them. There is something really heady about sharing information about others, even though in our heart of hearts we know we shouldn't say it. If we egg people on when they hint that they know something, we are just as guilty. We all need God's help in this area. The psalmist said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my lips, a sentry at the door of my mouth." Even if something is true, it may not be ethical to say it, in that it may damage someone's dignity. We should avoid negative truths. There's a lot of truth in our lives that we don't want the whole world to know. Negative truths lower the status of other people in the eyes of others. Karen Carpenter died of heart failure at the age of 32 due to anorexia nervosa. Did you know that Karen Carpenter was also an exceptional drummer? So she wasn't just a great singer, she was a fantastic drummer. Anyway, it came out after her death that her fatal eating disorder was triggered by a music critic's comment that she was chubby. What her body type had to do with her one-of-a-kind voice beats me. The critic's comment, even though possibly true, permanently damaged Miss Carpenter's dignity. Therefore, it was unethical and immoral to say. The Old Testament comes down hard on harmful or negative speech, whether it's a lie, a truth, or somewhere in between. Leviticus 25:17 says, "You shall not wrong one another." This also covers communication. This isn't just relegated to deeds. This covers words we say. The loss of dignity that's being discussed is addressed in this verse. Lashon hara is an Old Testament word that means any derogatory or damaging communication, whether it's true or false. It's any kind of communication that generates animosity between people, that incites hatred or resentment. This kind of speech is unethical and immoral. A point in the Catechism of the Catholic Church states, "Respect for the reputation of persons forbid every attitude and word likely to cause them unjust injury. Honor is the social witness given to human dignity, and everyone enjoys a natural right to the honor of his name and reputation and to respect." Speech that actively harms a person not only diminishes the status of that person, but it robs them of their dignity. Rabbi Joseph Taluskin said once that many of us say hurtful things about others without even knowing it. I couldn't help but flash back to many of the hurtful things that I've said during my lifetime as I wrote this sermon. And I feel like maybe I've got to move through some of these steps of forgiveness and freedom sessions. Most of the time, we are not nasty on purpose. We criticize with sincere thoughts of being helpful. We are offensive with sincere thoughts of being honest. We gossip with sincere thoughts of sharing prayer requests. We tell jokes with sincere thoughts of injecting a little humor. We don't realize that our well-meaning words are unintentionally hurtful. Our victims, sadly, are usually the people that we care about the most. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And this is my goal. I want to be a more godly talker. I want my speech to reveal that my religion is true and it's genuine. How about you? Lord, we confess that there are times when our speech is hurtful. And we ask you for your forgiveness this morning and for the forgiveness of those we've hurt with our words. We pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit would take control of our tongues, that we would speak in the ways you would have us speak. Amen.